This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. I hope you're having a glorious day in the COVID-19 age. We've had some spectacular weather to carry us through this crisis. And now, in addition to this, in our country, many cities are under siege as a result of a senseless killing by a police officer. It amounts to a homicide by a 44-year-old cop. And most police officers, as we know, are good men and women and great public servants. But this guy was up to no good, and he, for 8 minutes, choked with his knee on the neck of George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, and now Minneapolis is under fire. This from Fox News, and I irregularly quote stories from Fox, but this is how they are framing what's going on right now, that network. Minneapolis rioters set police precincts on fire in a third night of violence after George Floyd's death. The third precinct police station in Minneapolis was set ablaze last night as violent protests continued. Other cities across the U.S. also facing rioters who are responding to what was a senseless killing. And the President of the United States is right that this is not the way to respond. But he has now been chided for a second time in a week by Twitter, the first time for falsely claiming that television host and former Congressman Joe Scarborough was responsible for a death, basically accusing him of murder, wrongly, and now this time for what Twitter calls inciting violence, glamorizing violence. Rioters broke into a precinct around 10 o'clock last night after law enforcement on the rooftop previously tried to disperse the gathering using flashbang shots and tear gas. So here we go. 877-217-5757. We'd like to hear from you. Quite often stories like this emanate from the Great South, and we had it in our own community 4 years ago with the death of Alton Sterling. What is your perception? And every death is different, and this is certainly different than the Sterling death, but nonetheless, the officer who killed Alton Sterling, Blaine Salamone, is no longer on the force, and evidence shows that he had a history of this kind of behavior, just as evidence shows that the officer in question who killed George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, had this kind of behavior in his past. What is going on with our law enforcement in this community? And this, of course, tars the great number, the vast majority of people who serve and put their lives on the line every day. It's highly unfair to them. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. With us to talk about this as we start, Jeff Satto, LSU Shreveport political scientist, and there are political implications to this, as we know. And Albert Samuels, the former dean of the Mandela School at Southern University and now chair of the Department of Political Science. Two veterans when assessing elections and people in politics, and right now the President of the United States is front and center. Both he and Joe Biden have condemned the action in their own way, but nonetheless have not called for what would amount to be a prosecution for murder of the police officer who killed George Floyd. Albert Samuels, what is your take?
Well, first of all, I want to say good morning, Jim, and also good morning to Jeff. I think that we are experiencing, of course, another tragic chapter in the long history of race in this country. I couldn't help when I saw those initial images of going back to the Alton Sterling issue right here in Baton Rouge. In fact, many of the images were eerily similar. And it's not coincidental that literally the day after the Alton Sterling basically murder, you have Philando Castile. Literally the next day, was killed
in Minneapolis.
And right there in Minneapolis, and for and he actually had a legal right to own a weapon, and all he did was t- tell the officer, you know, right. I do have a weapon in the car, you know, and he was basically literally executed on the spot.
Well, what does this say for people of color in this country?
Well, it continues to perpetuate the sense that African Americans are really subject peoples in their own land. Because these are not isolated incidents; they just continue to happen over and over again. We saw this was on camera, and perhaps people thought that maybe if we have cameras, if we have video, surely people will see it. But in this case, you have video evidence of the officer for several minutes with his knee on George Floyd's neck. You have passerbys who are literally begging the police to let him up. And, of course, they can't intervene because the police have guns. And nothing happens. And then we have, that happened Monday. It is Friday. And these officers are still free people. That's, you know. And so when these kind of things continue to happen over and over again, it continues to perpetuate the idea that African Americans are really subject peoples.
All right. Well, I want to get Jeff Satto, and we do have some people who want to talk with Albert Samuels and Professor Satto. And Jeff Satto, you have watched this, and I think anybody, no matter what your political persuasion, has to be appalled by what they see. And in this case, I can't really see any gray area. Obviously, there was enough gray area that Blaine Salamone didn't go to jail. He lost his job but did not go to jail. But how do you view what happened and what has happened since the death of George Floyd?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Minneapolis, as you and Albert have pointed out, seems to have a bit of a problem with these kinds of things. There was another incident, I think, a couple of years ago as well. These things happen, and, you know, you could make the argument that, well, maybe the introduction of cameras discourages it. Maybe we'd see more interest, more kinds of things like this if we didn't have that kind of publicity and the like, potentially. But nonetheless, they still appear to be happening. And, and as you point out, that's, in this case, it does really seem to be clear-cut. And in the Salamone case, at least there's an argument that there was just bad judgment on the part of this officer. But there does not seem to be any extenuating circumstances for this one, and it's just unfortunate that it's happened, and that the repercussions of this in Minneapolis and elsewhere are now playing out, and that creates its own sets of difficulties.
Well, this was an 8-minute suffocation, if you will, of George Floyd. And the poor man, who was handcuffed and on his stomach, he was obviously in no condition to cause any trouble. And he's yelling, "I can't breathe," as much as he can yell. Obviously, his voice was faint because he was having trouble breathing. But then you hear him calling for his mother. And that's what people do when they're about to die. 877-217-5757. Laura in Lafayette. Laura, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I was just calling in as a person of color who's a mother of girls, who's an aunt of black boys. And I'm a scholar. I have degrees in history. And I just want to say that I'm sickened, but I'm not surprised, because America has a history of treating people who are non-European this way. America was taken from the Native Americans through death, murder, disease, illness. They continue to treat people of Mexican heritage, non-European heritage, certain ways. We have a president who calls non-European countries shitholes. It's blatant every day that these police officers walk around that says this is okay. And it continues and it continues. And we have these conversations and they continue and they continue. But what continues is people who are not minorities who condone it every day. And that's all I have to say. Have a great day.
Thank you, Laura. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. We'll return with Professor Sato and Samuels, Jeff in Shreveport, Albert in Baton Rouge, and we will be back after this 90-second pause with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Matt Doyle is producing, and for a bit longer, we're going to talk about the tragedy in Minnesota, which is caught the attention of America for good reason. A police officer for 8 minutes all but suffocated a person who was apprehended and in no way threatening the officer, handcuffed on his stomach, unable to do anything even if he wanted to, and it appears he did not even want to. He was trying to be compliant, and the thanks he got was that he was executed on videotape. Thank God we have videotape. But that has spawned riots, which are not good. And, of course, this is not the way to respond. It was H.Rap Brown, who grew up in the city where I'm located right now, who said violence is American as cherry pie. And I know Dr. Samuels knows H.Rap Brown. And ultimately, H.Rap Brown, who converted to Islam, it had nothing to do with his conversion to Islam, but he killed a police officer and he died. And he's in prison right now for the rest of his life in Atlanta. The police officer died, but one death does not absolve the death of another, and the best way to handle this is to prosecute the officer and those who stood by and did nothing, as Derek Chauvin, and let's remember that name. He is the evil culprit here. Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd, and the two guests with us, they know political science as well as anybody in this state, and often these riots have political implications. In 1968, there were riots in Chicago at the Democratic Convention. Hubert Humphrey lost to Richard Nixon by about 100,000 votes. He would have won that election probably had there not been riots in Chicago. In 1992, there were riots in Los Angeles. And that caused George Bush to look feeble as the president, and Bill Clinton beat him in a rout. And 27 years earlier in Los Angeles, there were riots with Watts, and that caused the popular governor, Pat Brown, to be unseated by an up-and-comer named Ronald Wilson Reagan. 877-217-5757. Let's go to Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Dr. Albert, and good morning, Mr. Jeff. Hope y'all doing great today. There's one other item that y'all hadn't brought up, and I hope you bring it up, because the media is all over the place in Minneapolis, as well they should be. But the state police last night chose to arrest an African-American CNN reporter and his crew, who weren't doing anything that any of the rest of the media wasn't doing there. They were filming what was going on, and I think that's an outrage we need to address. The other thing is, we can only thank God that Jeff Landry's not the prosecutor up there, because these cops would walk if that were the case.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. As I said, every case is different, and we don't know that. And I don't want to be unfair to Attorney General Landry. He's a man who has spent his life in law enforcement, and I'm sure in his mind he would do the right thing. And in this case, there is, as I stated, nothing murky about this. The only thing that would be murky is the charge. And Albert Samuels, I think perhaps the appropriate charge is first-degree murder in this case.
I know. Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I would think that probably would be appropriate. But I think the caller, does bring up an interesting point in that we see the police, well, in this case, it's the Minneapolis State Police. You know, but we're able to arrest a CNN news crew for doing nothing more than simply covering the news. But we can't arrest the officers whose actions have precipitated the situation in the first place. And again, that just speaks to this sense in which black life is devalued.
Jeff Sado, you live in Shreveport, a city like Baton Rouge, like New Orleans, that is high when it comes to per capita murder. And quite often, as we know, it's a case in which black people are behind bars. And if they killed somebody, they should be behind bars. But we have societal problems in which African Americans are disproportionately victims of crime and disproportionately are incarcerated. And they take a solid citizen like this guy who was killed, George Floyd, a solid citizen who was a security guard himself. And I think there's an impression by many, and perhaps some who carry a badge, that if you're black, you're a suspect no matter what you do, how you act, how you conduct yourself. Do we have to get past this in order? This is a rhetorical question, but if we're going to have what amounts to a great country and truly make America great again, do we have to get past this kind of prejudice in our great land?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously. The problem is with people and their differences in appearance and the like is there's always going to be some kind of residual prejudice between groups. And you'd probably argue that it's going to be most severe for those that are in the minority. And, you know, we can evolve. If we look back where we were 50, particularly in the South, 50, 60 years ago, there's, of course, a light years of difference in terms of just what's going on here. But the fact of the matter is, people being people, we're always going to have something like this. And what we have to do to get around this is to make sure that those worst impulses of some individuals are that public policy and the structures of government don't allow for those things to happen. Now, obviously, something like this did happen in this instance in Minneapolis, but we've got to find ways to be able to make sure that that occurs at a bare minimum.
All right. Jill and Baker. Jill, you're on. Good morning to you.
Good morning. What I want to say is every time something like this happens, a murder of an unarmed black person, the first thing that always comes up is, well, the majority of the police force are good people. And that's not how I see it. Because if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. No one speaks out. They watch this happen, and they act like everything's okay. So what
well,
are people to do?
You're right, though.
And when they go to court, the police are acquitted. I mean, what do they want people to do? How are black people supposed to free themselves? Tell me.
Well, I'm with you that those who stood by and did nothing should be prosecuted as well. But I do believe the police chief in Minnesota is black, and many police officers are African American. And I think most blacks, most whites who carry a badge are good people, but some are not. And when you have that kind of power and you use it, you can do bad things. And this was a bad guy who had a history, who shouldn't have been on the streets, but he was, and he killed an innocent man. But thank you for pouring your heart out. And
one more thing, it seems like a lot of Klan around the police force.
Well, I don't know about that. I would say that that's probably not true. But Laverne in Mid-City, good morning. Laverne, you're on Talk Louisiana.
I want to talk about how police are hired, recruited. Are personality tests given? This guy has a history of violence, of over excessive force, and many complaints. Salamone also had some issues as well. to me, it seems that this would be, you could see this on a personality test, and these types of people would not be given a gun and go out in the street to police. Another thing is, as a white American, I know my interactions with the police are different than those of my black friends. And I shudder to think of being a mother of a black son and wondering every day whether or not he was safe.
Thank you, Laverne. 877-217-5757. Talk at talklouisiana.org. We have many people who are trying to comment one way or the other, and we appreciate that. Keep them coming, and if we can't get to them today, this is a story that unfortunately will have legs. But we'll return with Professor Jeff Sado and Albert Samuels on Talk Louisiana after this timeout for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Matt Doyle is producing, and our guests are Dr. Albert Samuels and Dr. Jeff Sado. Jeff in Shreveport at the LSU, and Albert, who is dean, he was dean of the Mandela School at Southern, but he is chair of the Department of Political Science at the great university on the Bluff. 877-217-5757. Mark in Baton Rouge. Mark, good morning. Mark in downtown Baton Rouge. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. I just want to say I applaud you for yesterday. I was listening when you were talking to Foster Campbell, and when you introduced the story, you unabashedly and without hesitation called it murder. I think you were right on, and I think you're correct, and I applaud you for being so direct and frank with this obvious situation. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Mark. Appreciate your kind words, and it was a murder. Ben Bailey and Baker, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Jim, and to your guests. I just wanted to point out that a lot of times these incidents are portrayed as being just isolated incidents, but there's some tremendous parallels across the country. If you look at Ferguson, they had laws that overwhelmingly were geared toward black folks. Now, in Minneapolis, they had what they called the black code. People could be arrested for spitting on the street and something they called lurking. And that wasn't appealed until 2016. So I think the problem is much, much bigger than a few bad apples. It's systemic. I'm from Baltimore. I grew up where right near Freddie Gray's murder site, Gilmore Projects. And a couple of years ago, there was a black police officer that was supposed to testify before the FBI in terms of police misconduct. He mysteriously was killed the day before. So it's systemic, it's countrywide, and it's just a continuing part of the history of racism and white supremacy in America.
Thank you, Ben Bailey. Mariba corrects me, saying the mayor of St. Paul is African-American, the mayor, if I said the mayor, I meant the police chief. I think I said the police chief of Minneapolis, I believe, is an African-American. But the mayor of Minneapolis, I know, has been very strenuous in saying that this officer should be prosecuted. 877-217-5757. We'll get Jeff and Albert to comment after we hear from Rinaldi in North Baton Rouge. Rinaldi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim, and hello to Dr. Samuels. Dr. Samuels, could you give a little bit of reflection on the daily stress African Americans feel? And, you know, I'm not just a system kind of guy, but just driving while being black, walking or jogging while being black. You know, we're under a tremendous amount of stress, which then leads to other health mitigation. And I'm not asking you to be a medical doctor in this situation, but I think our colleagues need to understand it's not just this one incident. And, you know, it's why are you always so angry? Well, because of stuff like this and just getting stopped for no reason or going into a store, Jim Inkster, or not getting served at a restaurant. It's a daily occurrence. This is why so many people are so angry.
All right. Well, thank you, Rinaldi. Your comments, Dr. Samuels?
You know, my friend Rinaldi, makes a good point. I actually, a friend of mine posted this morning on Facebook, and he was talking. And he was describing what white privilege is. You know, he's a white guy. He's my actual friend of mine. I've known him for over 20 years. By the way, we're all from Freeport. from Freeport, you know.
Yeah, you were a Green Oaks guy, right?
That's absolutely. You know, and he taught a class for us at the law center. But he just talked about how, as a white person, there are certain things that he can take for granted, like I can go jogging, I can relax in the comfort of my home, I can ask for help in a car crash, I can have a cell phone, you know, I can leave a party and go to safety. He goes on and on and on, and he says all of these are things that we can tick off number of examples of African Americans who were doing these things, and somehow they ended up dead.
Jeff Sato, these kinds of things have political implications, and this is an election year. How do you think this will play? Will this be an issue come November, or will it be long gone amid all the other stories, including the big one, the pandemic and the economy responding to the pandemic? Will this kind of violence by a law enforcement officer on a minority, will it be an issue?
You know, in terms of national politics, you know, I don't know. That remains to be seen. You know, you kind of ticked off a little historical overview of incidents like these, not entirely like these, but somewhat like them, in the past, and how that had a ramification in national politics. I think, you know, for example, with in the latter 60s, you know, when we're talking about Watts, there were riots in many other large urban places in the United States at that time, and that certainly had an impact on the 1968 election, both for president and congressional seats as well. And, you know, I think we'd have to see something on that basis occur for it to really become that kind of big issue. If it stays, let's say, a Minneapolis problem, then probably not. But if you see this ripple across the country, well, then, yeah, I think it becomes an issue that that will be something that the presidential candidates would have to address.
Today in the New York Times, another story. Each day brings several stories about George Floyd. It reads, the manual of the Minneapolis Police Department states that neck restraints and chokeholds are basically reserved for when an officer feels caught in a life-or-death situation. There was no apparent threat of that nature in Mr. Floyd's detention. And criminologists viewing the tape say the knee restraint was not only put dangerous pressure on the back of the neck, but that Mr. Floyd, was kept lying on his stomach for too long. Both positions, the knee on the neck and lying face down, run the risk of cutting off someone's oxygen supply. Kevin in North Baton Rouge. Kevin, you're on with Jeff Sato and Albert Samuels. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing, Mr. Ingram? Look, I had a few things I wanted to say. I wanted to say the best way, the fastest way that we can stop this is to go into the police officer's pocket. When they do something that's outside of their training or their the way they do things, it should come out of their bank account. And then whatever left can come out the citizen's bank account, because that's who pays for it. And it's been proven in the FBI that the white supremacists are in the police department.
Thank you, Kevin. Let's go to Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Yeah, Professor Sadow, is there a concern that Trump's moral equivalency between white supremacists and those protesting racism may have, at least subtly, empowered the former Minneapolis cop to abuse his power vis-a-vis a black arrestee?
All right. Does Donald Trump have anything to do with this?
No, I really don't think so. I mean, there are those that would argue that that Trump's policies, his issue preferences, they would argue would encourage this kind of thing. But I certainly don't see that connection. And I think other people, and regardless of it, if you take Trump away, if you look at another politician with the same kind of policies and attitudes, I don't see that as something that that kind of redounds that way, so to speak, throughout the public policy system. No.
877-217-5757. Let's go to Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, good morning.
Yes, good morning. If I am a business owner, especially a white business owner in Minneapolis, and I've spent a lot of time up there, the last thing I need is President Trump daring someone to loot my business. That's all I got.
All right. Albert Samuels, does Mike have a point?
Jim, if I can make a comment here, I think the question was raised: does President Trump have anything to do with this? And I think indirectly, the president does bear a lot of responsibility. Remember, in 2017, this was a president who spoke in front of a group of law enforcement officers, basically saying that he can have a problem with the police being rough on people, and fully aware of the context of, we had years of these type of police confrontations with with African Americans. He made issues of this in 2016 when he was running. And let's keep in mind, the Justice Department under the Trump administration, they reversed a number of the initiatives that were going on during the Obama administration in terms of trying to, work with local law enforcement, who had had some of these issues. They canceled some of those grant programs. They actually have encouraged law enforcement to seek tougher sentences. So in some ways, they're sending these signals. The president also.
Okay, we do have to take a break, but we will return with Dr. Samuels and with Jeff Sado, and then we'll hear from Paul Braun and Matt Houston. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. A few more minutes with Albert Samuels and Jeff Sado, two very measured men, guys who aren't bomb throwers. They're passionate about their politics, and they're much different, but I couldn't have asked for two better guests on a day like this, in which passions, of course, are at an electric level for good reason. And then we'll go to Paul Braun, and if things go according to plan, Matt Houston, both of whom are covering the Capitol. And, oh, by the way, there is a session going on. Let's go to, is it Jay in Mid-City? Jay, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Jay.
Good morning. I don't think you so much blame this on the president, because you had a lot of police killings when Obama was in office. But you have to have more African-American police in these police departments. It should be a federal law stating that, percentage of police departments, especially in predominantly urban areas in this country, to deal with the African-Americans, because it's just a tension is between black males and white police officers. That's something that ain't going to end. You have to infiltrate these police department and get out there and physically recruit African-Americans and become a police officer. It's the only way you're going to stop it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Jim on Jefferson, you'll be our final caller for Dr. Samuels and Dr. Sado. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. I've only got one comment. I've been alive for a long time. I've been through the 60s. I marched with King in Chicago. I did all of that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you this, and you got to know it. The most dangerous place in the world for a black man or black woman is in a white man's imagination. And that's all I got to say about it.
All
God
right.
bless y'all.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Final comments, Dr. Sado, let's begin with you, and you're going to have to pull him up, Matt. Dr. Sado, your thoughts about the discussion we've had today and what will happen in the days to come.
Yeah, I think this incident clearly shows the progress that needs to be made, and to reiterate a point I made earlier, I know I don't believe that this is widely systemic set of attitudes that are on display here on both sides, either the police or rioters. But the challenge we have as a government is we have to come up with a public policy that minimizes these worst passions of individuals.
Okay. Thank you, my friend, and let's keep talking. Appreciate it. Next time we'll of course talk about other matters too, but let's before we go up. I think we just lost Dr. Samuels. So thanks to Albert Samuels, one of the fine gentlemen in our great community, and we'll be calling on him again soon as well. So.